No matter where you are, chances are it's more pleasant than this place right now. This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown, and on this Friday, September 1st, we are coming to you from a region they usually call the Golden Triangle of East Texas. But in the immediate aftermath of Harvey, well, the straight routes connecting the towns of Beaumont, Orange, and Port Arthur are, for the most part, underwater. Detours and over-the-road flooding everywhere. A 25-mile jaunt has become a 1 or 2 hour voyage, and good luck if your gas gauge is low. We found $3 premium a few blocks back. You know that noise overhead? That's the constant soundtrack here as rescues and evacuations continue, and though there is water everywhere, it's a lack of water that's created a crisis where I am right now. Picture this, 120,000 people on a virtual island surrounded by water on all sides and not a drop from the faucet for 4 days. The two main pumping stations flooded and likely not fixable before Monday at the earliest. Welcome to Beaumont. Just don't forget to boil your water. In fact, those concerns, a lack of drinkable H2O, prompted hospital officials here to evacuate every single patient on Thursday. That's including the most frail.
Our assessment of the situation here is that we are preparing right now to add forces to the already existing more than 1,000 soldiers, Marines, Air Force personnel, and special forces that are here in the Beaumont area and Orange, and we are augmenting them with additional forces on behalf of the local civil authorities to support what is now, right now, a mandatory evacuation in Orange due to the threat of dams breaching and overflow of rivers leading from the north to the south of the city.
That's Colonel Scott McLeod. He's commander of Task Force Harvey, which means he's been coordinating the military forces Governor Abbott's requested for the whole of Harvey-hit Texas. He's been redeploying hundreds of troops from south of Corpus Christi up the coast to Houston and then out to Beaumont and Orange.
I will tell you, that's one of the most impressive things I've seen in my more than 29 and a half years. Our soldiers, our sailors, our Marines, our Air Force personnel are doing a tremendous job. They're tired, they're sleep deprived, they're going without food. They're putting themselves into harm's way on behalf of the local civilian authorities and the citizens of this great state. There is a case right now in Lumberton, Texas, just north of here. 5 young female soldiers in 2 trucks personally have saved more than 200 civilians in the last 3 to 4 days. So ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know on behalf of the governor of the state of Texas and the president of the United States, the Department of Defense, the Texas Army National Guard is here, and we're not going anywhere until we have met your needs.
He's just flown in by helicopter from Katy to this staging area, basically a massive indoor concert venue outside Beaumont that's been converted into a makeshift military camp. Colonel McLeod says his top concern at the moment, the possibility of dams breaching in Orange. They're overflowing. There's a mandatory evacuation. And I have to tell you, it's hard to imagine how people are going to be able to get themselves out of a city circled by high water. The biggest issue right now?
It's the lines of communication. It's the major highway systems. It's the ability to have mobility into the affected areas. That not only hinders our response, it also hinders the ability of local officials to know what the true need is in those areas. So as the water dries up, the good news is the sun has come out and drainage will occur. Those lines of communication will become more and more open, and that will speed the flow of essential services and commodities into the areas where the civilians need help.
With the evacuation of Orange top priority, more helicopters take to the sky from the airport near Port Arthur, but it won't be enough. They'll need to send out more boats. The Texas Army National Guard offers to take us past the high water zones and the countless police cars blocking every other turn. And after zigzagging for about 90 minutes or so to a closed-off intersection off I-10 and Lord knows where, but it feels awfully close to Louisiana, we come to where the Texas National Guard and an additional army of volunteers have created a makeshift boat launching ramp right off the frontage road into a lake that yesterday we are informed was a park.
We were here yesterday and that was the most of it. We were actually further west today. We came back here to rescue this family.
Tyler McCann is winching his bass boat back onto his trailer. Since he's from Moss Bluff on the other side of the Louisiana line, he calls himself a member of the Cajun Navy, though honorary Texan might not be out of place.
So most of the people that needed to get out Yesterday we rescued people that were in water way over their waist, and a lot of elderly people. We rescued people from this church over here in the apartments, and it was a lot worse yesterday. But
man, that engine smells hot.
It was. This is his. That one's mine. It overheated, but they had most of the people out of here. Picked up a few people from the apartments down there. It was a small family and had a handicapped aunt. Got her back, and when I took her over here to the store, there was a nurse that came all the way from North Dakota to help out, and she took the lady from us helped her out right here at this gas station when I came in from the apartments.
What's your name? Sorry.
Wayne Garber.
Wayne Garber, where are you from?
Orlando, Florida.
Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
Man, you're a long way from home.
Yeah.
What are you doing out here?
I just came to help because you guys have helped us so many times during the hurricanes. And
as the sun goes down, the flashing emergency lights seem many, many times more intense, bouncing off all the water, I suppose. But in the direction of the only open road here, I can just make out three people at the corner wrapped in towels. They tell me they were rescued from their flooded home in Orange.
My name's Amber Netterville, and we're from Orange, Texas.
Would he be willing to chat with us for a moment?
Him?
Yeah.
Sure. Don't know what you're going
to
hear. But
could I get you to say your name and where you're from?
Lane Everett Moore, and am I from Indiana or Texas?
Well, if anyone ever asks Lane, the correct answer is always Texas.
All I know is we got picked up and we're safe. That's what I'm happy about.
So we are waiting for the Army boat to arrive, but then one of the officials says there's been a development.
I'm sure y'all have been told that there's possibly bodies out there. Personally, I would like to hold off until after they get those bodies out before we go. But I have to check with the engineers that we're with to find out how we're going to do that. If we're not going to go in that direction, we'll all get into one boat and we'll follow along with two other boats that'll be loading people up and trying to get them out of there.
How many bodies are we talking about?
But we can't stay any longer, not with the roads in this condition. With long stretches of complete darkness and their cars scattered all across submerged medians and sidewalks, we can wind our way back to Beaumont, but it's going to be the longest and most frightening 29.8-mile trips of my life. And it was. None of this turned out like I thought it would. When we landed in Corpus Christi a few days back, it already looked like a place on the road to recovery, and moving up the coast, meeting neighbors in the tiny towns that took the direct hit and were supporting each other. Just as Houston turned into what looked like an ocean inlet, and Galveston, on the front line of some of history's worst storms to hit Texas, this time sandbagged and soggy, but relatively unscathed. Nothing expected about this. And then you get to this place, Harvey's third gut punch to Texas, the Golden Triangle. On the road back, I'm thinking about how I'm going to tell you this story. The radio's off, and I feel like we're making our way gingerly through a war zone. And that's when Casey, our technical director, says something I haven't been able to shake. You know, he says, it seems like it's been a long time since everyone's been on the same page like this. Well, there's a whole lot to that. As hard as it is to describe the destruction and devastation that this part of our country has endured, it's just as hard to communicate what it feels like being around others on fire with a shared sense of mission, an enlarged sense of community, and saving lives in the process. I've heard a lot of people tell me over the past few days that this is the stuff that makes Texas, Texas. Texans like to talk like that, you know. But I'm thinking they're right, too. From Beaumont, I'm David Brown, and you're listening to the Texas Standard.